Good morning. As we gather around the Advent wreath today, we rejoice that Christmas is a time of prayer and of open hearts when we sing songs of joy. Christmas is a time of worship, the moment when the busiest of us pause and wonder. Christmas happens when God comes to all of us through Jesus Christ and fills us with love for all humankind. From 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent God's holy Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent God's Son to sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we ought to love each other. We light this candle to proclaim the coming of light of God into this world. With the coming of light, there is love. Such great love helps us to love God and one another. Please pray with me. O God, we thank you that Jesus showed your love for every person, babies and children, old people and young, sick people and those who were strong, rich people and those who were poor. Come with us in this Advent season and give us love in our hearts for all people. Amen.
Our Advent candle lighting song, we'll be singing the second verse only, the one about love. We light a candle for love, and our world that's longing for love. We light a candle for love, and our world that's longing for love. Holy One, shine with the fire of our lives. Oh, we light a candle for love, and our world that's longing for love. So the time has come that we will be doing, we will be starting our Hanging of the Greens program, and you'll be able to follow along on the screen and in your bulletin, you're invited to stay seated for the entirety of the program.
Over 2,000 years ago, a clutch of sleepy shepherds was watching over their sheep on a star-brightened hillside in Palestine. It was a still, uneventful night. Suddenly, the darkness was filled with a strange light. The stillness was broken by angels' voices singing, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth, goodwill to all." So began, wait. So began our most beautiful and meaningful festival, Christmas. Christmas actually begins with Advent. Okay, you're
gonna say, what is Advent? What is Advent?
Well, the word Advent means coming or arrival. It is 4 weeks before Christmas where we get ready to celebrate the coming or arrival of the baby Jesus. To help us celebrate, we decorate our church and homes with the things that remind us of Jesus' birth. We have taken some very old customs and given them new meanings. We have made up newer symbols for the coming of Jesus also. Listen while we explain some of these beautiful things that we are using to decorate for the season.
The Advent wreath is a circle of evergreen with candles. The circle has been a symbol of eternal love because it has no end. The Advent wreath is a reminder of God's endless love and faithfulness. Each Sunday in Advent, we light one candle, until on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle as we celebrate Jesus' birth. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and we light two candles on the wreath. The first candle is the hope candle. It reminds us that we wait in hope. The second candle of Advent is love, which reminds us that Jesus comes to share God's great love with the world.
Now bring in the greens. Christmas greens had their origin in early cultures, but Christians see them with a deeper, richer meaning for the church. When other trees are bare and summer flowers are gone, these evergreens remind us that God promises us life everlasting.
Our church tree carries more messages and decorations. People from our church have made felt ornaments in the form of white doves because the dove represents God's Holy Spirit coming down on us. Men and women in our church have also made decorations in the form of other symbols called chrismons.
The Christmas rose is beautiful and a sign of God's love for us.
Jesus was born, his mother wrapped him in blankets and put him in the manger. Jesus came out, just as the butterfly comes out of the cocoon, Jesus rose from the dead.
The lamp is hanging on our tree because God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible is the written story of God's love and care for the human family.
The clover reminds us that God comes in three ways, as a creator, a Christ, and as the Holy Spirit. The Alpha and the Omega remind us that God was in the beginning and will be in the future.
Christ is the stone that the builders reject, but which is turned up to be the most important in the construction of God's eternal temple.
The Star of David reminds us that Jesus was the house and family of King David. The heart reminds us that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God.
Staff tells us that Jesus is a good shepherd.
A dove reminds the holy dove of Spirit.
The candle is hung on the tree because Jesus is the light of the world.
God's love is an anchor in our lives.
Angels bring us messages from God.
The cross tells us that there is nothing that can stop the love and power of God.
The fish is hung on our tree because it was an early secret sign for Christians.
The holly and mistletoe and the poinsettia too have become part of our decorations for Christmas. Red is the color of warmth and love. In recent years, the poinsettia has become the American Christmas flower. Its red leaves are symbolic of the star in Bethlehem.
The holly bush has come to stand for peace and joy. The prickly evergreen leaves remind us of Christ's crown of thorns and the red berries of blood that he shed for us.
For many centuries after the birth of Jesus, wreaths of mistletoe were hung upon altars at Christmas time as symbols of healing power of Christ's love. Early Christians stood under a wreath of the golden branch, as the mistletoe was called, to give each other the kiss of peace.
Ringing joyously, bells for centuries have heralded the birth of Jesus, pealing through the lands the tones of love. The oldest of all Christmas symbols is the star. Shining that first Christmas over the manger in Bethlehem, it continues to shine today, lighting the way for all who seek to find Christ. Thank you. They say it was St. Francis of Assisi who created the two symbols of Christmas that we love, the nativity play and the cradle scene. Loving the story of the birth of Jesus, St. Francis wished others to love it too. In his own church, he set up a cradle scene with live oxen and donkeys. Now in churches all over the world, the story of nativity is reenacted. So with the beauty of the greens to remind us of the glory that came to earth at Christmas, let's hear the Bible's accounts of the birth of Jesus, he who is called the light of the world.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to marry, to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch of their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and glory to the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests."
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people.
To you is born this day in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.
Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace among those who care." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Thank you.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judea territory, this was during Herod's kingship. A band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews?" "We observed a star in the eastern sky and that signaled his birth. We're on a pilgrimage to worship him." When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified, and not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all high priests and religious scholars in the city together and asked, "Where's the Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem, Judea territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judea's land. No longer brings up the rear. From you will become the leader who will shepherd my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east, pretending to be a devout as they were. He got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child, leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered in the house and saw a child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In a dream, they warned not to report back to Herod. So they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country.
Child who has been born king of the Jews. For we have observed his star at the rising and come to pay him homage.
The Christmas tree lights and candles we light during Advent remind us that Jesus is the light of the world.
Would the congregation please join us in one of our congregation's favorite songs? We will be singing verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
carols, both old and new, are a beautiful part of Advent and Christmas.
Legends of the Christmas story, the shepherds brought gifts to baby Jesus. They brought gifts to help Mary and Joseph, who were poor and far from home, to help take care of their precious new baby. In the same spirit, the congregation is invited to share their morning offering.
Thank you.
join me in the prayer of dedication. Loving God, thank you for the gifts you give us, which remind us of the spirit of the Advent season. Help us use them to create a world of love and justice. Amen. You may be seated.
So, does all this help answer your question, what is Advent? It is all of the preparation we have made here today, getting ready for the joy of Christmas.
Yes, and a Merry Christmas we will have.
Are bringing back our communion tables. I want to ask us to give one more round of applause for all of the amazing people that helped put this program together. I couldn't possibly name every person that made this possible. All of those people's names are on the front of your bulletins. Now we continue in our worship. As you see, we will be sharing communion together today. And if you are with us on Zoom, you are welcome to find some elements within your home to share communion, and you've got a little bit of time to do that as we're going to be doing joys and concerns and prayers before we start in that ritual. So first, I'd like to invite us into some silent prayer for the people and situations that we ourselves are carrying today with love and hope. Amen. So I've got a couple of prayer requests this morning, and after each intercession, I will say, God in your mercy, and if you like, I invite you to respond, receive our prayer. God in your mercy, receive our prayer. We pray first for the family of Steve Chenet. Steve's Aunt Marguerite passed away late last night. After a long journey with cancer. For Steve and for all who loved Marguerite, God in your mercy. We also ask your prayers to be with all of those in our community who are in care facilities and otherwise on our visitation list. God, on your mercy. And then finally, those folks in our community who are facing homelessness or food insecurity in this of all seasons. God, on your mercy. Are there others? I'm not seeing anybody here. Anything on Zoom? No. Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, in your grace and love, we give you thanks for gathering us here together, for the voices and the laughter of children who will show us the way. We teach our children well so that they may lead us. We ask you to be with all of those whose names are in our hearts and whose names we've spoken. For all the saints from whom their labors rest, especially thinking of Marguerite as she enters her heavenly home. We ask you to help us eradicate homelessness and poverty and food insecurity and discrimination in all of their forms, because we know that those are not your will. We know that the societal pressures of racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, ableism, and in all of the ways that discrimination presents itself, are not your will, O God. And so, in the spirit of hope, in the spirit of peace and love and joy, we pray to your Son Jesus, who showed us the way from the very beginning. And we now enter into the prayer that he taught us, knowing that there are many different translations of the Lord's Prayer and many people here, and you might be interested in saying the words up on the screen, and you might be interested in saying something else. But if you say trespasses, the rest of us will wait for you. So let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Now we are going to be sharing Holy Communion together. For anybody who hasn't worshipped with us before, and those of us who have worshipped here before, a reminder that this table does not belong to us. It does not belong to Union Congregational Church. It certainly doesn't belong to your pastor, but it belongs to Christ, who is the host and, we believe, welcomes all to participate, whether you are a member of this church or this denomination or not. You are welcome at this table. Christ invites all to this table, for he is the one who is reflected in all things and unites all things. There is a place for you. This banquet of love is set for a hungry and hurting world. When we take in and take on Christ, we are the body of Christ sent forth into the world to lay a banquet of love wherever we find ourselves. Let us open ourselves so that our hearts might be filled more completely. Maker and lover of all, forgive us when we are too preoccupied, self-involved, or worried to notice your presence in our lives. When we are too rushed to allow moments of wonder and awe that lead to hope. When we are too frightened to imagine those not like us loved equally by you. when we gloss over the most ordinary details as a revelation of your joy, when we fail to stop and reside in peace with you in our depths. Open us, O God. Free us to reflect the sacred. Touch us with your presence. We pray in your holy name, Christ anointed one. Amen. Hear this good news. God is with us in our distress and in our faltering. God is always and already closing the gaps we create. Jesus calls us to this table with unfailing and gracious hospitality. You are forgiven and freed. You are not alone. You are forgiven and freed. You are not alone. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you. Word of God, Logos from the beginning, you made us reflective of your image and likeness and have set us ablaze with the breath of life. When we turned away and our love dulled, your love remained as light for our lives. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and to set at liberty all who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners, a reflection of his purpose, and anointed as his disciples. Christ's birth is our awakening. Christ's suffering is all suffering. Christ's death and resurrection is the pattern of all things. We are his body in the world, the body of Christ, renewed by water and the Spirit. He has been, is, and always will be with us, one in three, three in one, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples saying, "Eat this, this is my body, broken for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after they were finished eating, he took a cup and poured it out and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this. This is my blood. This is the sign of the new covenant that I make with you. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." Anoint this community with your Holy Spirit and pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them a reflection of your life and love for the world, so that we may be for the world a Christ mirror, radiating and multiplying this love in the world. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one with his ministry in all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. A few instructions. So you are invited to come up by the center, by way of the center aisle, and take a piece of bread and eat it, and then take a cup out of the tray and drink of it, and then return to your seats by way of the side aisle. We have all of our liquid is grape juice, so that it is safe for all of us. And we do have a selection of both gluten and gluten-free bread. The gluten-free bread is in the center, smaller tray. So please know that is safe for you if you have gluten sensitivities. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. And I just remembered to say that if for whatever reason you're not able to come, come and receive yourself, you can get somebody's attention, and we will bring the elements to you. Please join me in the prayer after communion. Gracious God, we thank you for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. You have fed us with the banquet of your peace. You have given us gifts that make us your children. Send us into the world to do justice, love mercy, and to follow the leading of your holy child as we await your coming. We pray in the name of the holy child who is coming and who is yet within us. Amen. Before I give the benediction, I want to invite all of you to come and join us for cookies and other treats right there in the fellowship hall in the back after the conclusion of this service. After I give the benediction, we will sing a closing hymn, and that will be your cue to go in peace to love and serve God. So when you see lights twinkle, when you catch a reflection in a mirror, when you notice the sunlight dancing on a surface, or a nightlight glowing in the darkness, let these be signs that the Christ light is revealed again and again in and through this world. Know that your brilliant presence is pouring more love into a weary world. God loved us by becoming us. That means you are already reflecting the sacred. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Kind of puts me in the fifth form here.